the whole size of the place of those birds, it's only five. Each color actually starts at 3 miles. But since the plastic's like that,
good morning. Good morning. I'm sorry, I was, I don't know, entranced by the music. I don't know exactly what, and it just didn't feel like the end. So I apologize. So, but thank you for that beautiful prelude. Good morning. Welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. You can see that it looks a little bit different today. It's a beautiful setup. We've got so many things that just light up and beautify the church. I also want to make sure you see some of the stuff that's obvious as you're looking this direction, but before you leave, make sure you look behind you, because part of the decoration, there's some beautiful things that were handcrafted by our children last night, back there on that glass, that one window, and you can see the light shining through, the special ornaments that are special decorations that they made. We had a good time last night, but we had some technical difficulties with the movie, so we'll be letting you know. We're going to reschedule that. We had the Jesus Revolution to watch. I have a feeling, I think we could probably get that again if it's available at the time, so we'll give it a shot again, and we'll let you know when that will be. I think we have things figured out how to make it work, how we can sit in here and watch that movie at some point. We'll let you know. There aren't, I'm not going to really highlight anything in here that you can look through your bulletin. I think you were paying attention to the announcements as they were coming by up there, but is there anybody that has something that they do want to highlight or do want to make note? Yes. Well, okay. Yes, so I will bring your attention to the bottom right of the bulletin. If you have Christmas cards and you'd like the Missions Support Committee to help put them into the different mailboxes, all you have to do is take your cards into the box that's in the kitchen. You can just bring your whole bundle in, put it in the box, and they'll take care of putting them in the appropriate mailboxes then. And if you are led to provide a contribution, that's up to you then. There's a place in there, I think, where you can put that. Yep. Another one behind you. Yeah. One second. Try it.
I can talk about it.
I'll try to repeat it. Go ahead. It's for the Zoom, so the people on Zoom. You say it, I'll try to remember to.
Signed up for to prep or serve, please have something to cover your hair. Just a baseball cap. It can be just a baseball cap or just a hairnet. It just has to be on long enough when we're prepping and serving. If somebody would come in and we don't have hair covers, It could cause us a problem.
Okay.
So just a friendly reminder.
Yep.
And again, thank you for everybody who volunteers.
Good point. Or you can go the route I went. I'd still have to. No, but good point. If you're helping out with and the part that you missed before the microphone was just a hearty thank you for those who have come out and those who have signed up to help. But if you're coming out and you're going to be working with the food, need to have some kind of a head covering, even if it's just your favorite baseball cap. Thank you. Good to know. And that's on the 20th, right? Our next table meet. Yeah, December 20th. Yes.
Question for Sunday's caroling. Is there a rain date or is it rain?
The caroling out here on the steps, the question is whether it's rain or shine. It's going to be snowing. It's going to be beautiful. We're just going to sing in the snow. Do we have a rain date? We'll get back to you on that. I'll tell you what. Okay. Yeah, just bring a raincoat. No, we'll get back to you. That is scheduled for the 10th, next Sunday. No rain date. If we can do it, we can do it. Great. If not, you know. So we'll just ask. We'll just pray for a break in the rain if it is raining. Okay. So good question. Any others? Anything else? Any other announcements? All right, well then let's pray. Father, good morning. We step into December, we step into this season called Advent in a way that just helps us to remember that you're our focus, that we are here to worship you. We are here to give you glory. Father, I pray that you'll guide this service. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will be active here among us this morning. And I pray that you'll help all of us to leave as changed people. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Instead of a call to worship reading from the Bible, since we're in Advent now, I would like to. Each Sunday we'll have an Advent reading, if you will, a lighting of the candles, and I'm going to try to make this a very interactive set of Advent beginnings. This will be our call to worship. There'll be a prayer. This will get our worship service started. But I just want to use this and again try to make it interactive and a little fun, but recognizing what Advent is all about and what we're heading toward. In Advent, you know that it's a season. It's 4 weeks. It's a time that we're asked to wait. We know that we can't just jump into Christmas. We have this time of preparation, the time of longing, and a time of waiting. We need to wait. Some things are just so big that we have to wait. We have to get ready to receive them. We have to prepare. But of course, waiting is not easy, and it's far from it. But Scripture assures us that this waiting is a holy feeling, and Scripture gives us some tools for waiting as well, 1 week at a time. We're going to approach Advent a little differently this year. I'm going to ask the children to help us out with some Advent lessons and with lighting the Advent candle. Now, these lessons aren't going to be me just talking to the children. This is These are lessons, these are words that are going to be for you as well, and some of the words will be spoken by them, by the children. So imagine that. We will be led by a child. Who knows what might happen next? So, will you let the children lead you in worship? Okay, great. So, can the children come up here, please, then? I need your help. We're going to start our Advent and start our worship service with... Well, these will be fine. If you guys will... Are you guys ready to help us lead worship? You ready to... Yes? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have you stand there, okay? I'll tell you what. Two of you stand there, and two of you stand over here so that these guys can see some people as well, okay? So I want you to help me out here. So we're going to try to help the congregation remember what it's like and some of these important things that we have to remember before we get to Advent. Thank you for tidying up. So I want you to help me imagine something, and I'm going to ask you to kind of act it out, standing where you are. I want you to show us some feelings, okay? I want you to help me to imagine something. Pretend, as like I said, with your whole bodies, so the big kids can see it and remember it too. What does it feel like when somebody promises you something wonderful? How does that feel? All right, I like it. Okay, yes, all right. And then they tell you you have to wait for it. How does that feel? Yeah, not so good. So, okay, so you see the picture. Okay, so you big kids now, would you help me label this? We're going to call this waiting is hard. Show them that face again. How does it feel to wait? All right, waiting is hard. In fact, when I point to you, would you say waiting is hard? Very good. All right, good job. I know that all of you can remember how hard it is to wait. It's not something just for the kids. I know that it's hard for adults as well. So children, why are we talking about waiting so much? Well, because today we start a special season on the church calendar. It's called Advent. It teaches us to get ready for Christmas. It teaches us to wait. There's so many things we learn from Christmas that we can't just jump right into it, okay? We have to wait. We have to get ready. Something really special has been promised to us, a Savior, someone who will change everything, and that's why it's called good news. But the promise isn't here yet. We have to wait. And so waiting is a holy feeling. Yes, exactly. We have to wait. So let's let the big kids remind us, too, again, about waiting. They're good. All right, so... waiting is hard, isn't it, right? But here's something that might make the waiting a little easier. Let's have you show me another way. What if you trust the person who made the promise? Think about that feeling of trust. Picture somebody in your head right now who always takes care of you, no matter what. Now show me with your bodies how that feels. You can trust that person. How does that feel? Is that a good feel? Okay, yes, thumbs up. All right, that's good. All right. That's all. No, we're not suspicious. That's the point. You trust them. No, that's good. So instead of being suspicious, you actually trust them. If they said it's going to happen, they mean it, and it really is going to happen, okay? So that's with the thumbs up. We know it's going to happen. And that's a holy feeling that goes with Advent, too, trusting. If the person you trust made you a promise, would it make it a little easier to wait? If you know for sure it's going to happen, you can trust that person. Does it make it a little easier to wait? That's a yes or no question. Yes. Okay, yes. Wrong answer. Okay. So Advent feels like waiting. It feels like trusting too. But God has promised something wonderful to us. A Savior is on the way. And our Bible reminds us that God can be trusted. God always keeps his promises. And we're gonna learn that in the sermon today as well. So let's take a minute. Look at the big kids in front of you, and I'm sure lots of them have their own stories about God taking care of them. Let's find out. Big kids, would you raise your hand if you feel like God has kept a promise to you? Oh, look at that. Yeah. So they feel like God has kept a promise to them. It helps them to remember those times, and it helps them to remember that they can trust God. All right, so waiting is hard, but God can be trusted. I want you guys to remember that. We're in the final countdown here, guys. Can I have your attention? Because I need your help with something. So waiting is hard, but God can be trusted, right? And we want to remember that. So will you help me remind everybody about this piece of Advent wisdom? In nice, loud voices, I want you to repeat what I say to make sure everybody out there remembers what we learned today, okay? So ready? I want you to repeat, waiting is hard. Waiting. Oh, in nice, loud voices. Come on.
Waiting is hard.
Very good. Okay, very good. All right. Now, I'll tell you what. I'll ask Jack to help me. The other three, if you'll go back to your seats, thank you very much for your help. And one Sunday, maybe you can help out with the lighting. I'm just picking Jack this morning for some reason. Come over here. Jack, I want you to help. You're going to help with the actual lighting. Can you hold this and just hold it? Okay, just like that, okay? Okay. In baseball, if the pitcher doesn't pitch the way the manager wants him to pitch, he goes to the bullpen and calls somebody else in, okay? How about if you stand right here? Look at them, because they want to see your smiling face. There we go, okay. Just stand still for a second. I know, this is getting long. Okay, it was Jesus Christ himself who told us to be ready at any time. So today we remember that call. Look for God in unexpected places at unexpected times. And even though we wait, we can expect our Savior to show up. This morning we're going to light the candle of expectation. So as we light it, we're going to ask you to sing the first verse of O Come, Emmanuel. Okay, you can turn around this way now. Let's pray. We gather this morning as a people waiting for the Lord, the one who died, rose, and will come again. This is the truth, the great mystery of our faith. Everlasting God, we confess that we haven't been watching. We haven't been looking out for you. Like a thief in the night, you could pass us by and we would never know. We've forgotten to look for you in the faces of people who are as close as our children, and of people who we keep a distance from us, such as the homeless around us. Forgive us, Father, and make us ready to greet you and everyone we see after we leave this place. But now, make us ready to greet your Holy Spirit as he abides with us during our worship service this morning. And may everything we sing, say, and do be to your honor and to your glory. Amen. Let's stand if you're able, and we'll sing our first.
Thank you.
take a minute and greet your neighbor and remind them that waiting is hard. All right. We'll find our way back to our seats. Thank you for reminding so many people that waiting is hard. But we know it's worth it, right? All right, we'll take a moment for some praises and prayers. The first thing that I want to share a praise, but it's also some news. Just to keep everybody informed, and I know word's getting around. My praise, I wanted to have scheduled surgery on my left knee. That was something that I was working on. I've got this process. I had the hip, then the knee, and then the right hip will come out because it's putting cobalt in my blood. So stuff that's supposed to happen, but the doctor that I went to for the hip surgery, he is scheduling out into April, May, so I thought I had some time, thought, you know, whatever. And then I got a call 2 weeks ago on a Friday that there was an opportunity in February, but that it would be a different doctor, which I was okay with, and it would be a Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm fine, but let me call you back on Monday. I talked to Vicky about it over the weekend. I called on Monday. Well, that spot wasn't available anymore, and I was a little disappointed because I thought they were waiting for me to call them back. It was only the weekend. During the conversation, they found that, oh, wait a minute, there's a cancellation. We can get you in January 5th. So I took it. So just to let you know, I'm going to be having knee surgery January 5th. That's only a month away. So my praise is I don't have to wait. Waiting is hard, and I don't have to wait for that one. But just to let you know, because you'll hear the rumblings, it'll get us through Christmas. We'll get all that taken care of. I'll even be able to preach at Londonderry Village on the 3rd, that Wednesday night, to fulfill my obligation there. And it's more than obligation. I mean, it's more than just fulfilling. I enjoy doing that. There are a great, great bunch of people over there that I had fun preaching to. So that'll all be taken care of, and it'll help me heal better for Easter. You know, it's given me plenty. So anyhow, it's a praise. I praise God that he opened up, that there was a cancellation at just the right time, and I was able to slip into that spot. It will require me to kind of look at the schedule and see if that messes anything up. I'm hoping. It seems like it's right there in the middle between Christmas and Lent that I think we'll have plenty of time to take care of, that there won't be much of a disruption. I will take the first two Sundays off. You'll have the bishop. He's going to be coming the first Sunday, and then Chaplain Chris Lair will be preaching on the second Sunday in January. So that's the other thing, other praise. I mean, I never expected the bishop to be available on the first Sunday, you know, but he is, and so God had this all orchestrated. Seems like it's meant to be. So enough about me. What other praises do we have? Come on, I know it was a rainy week. It got cold, but we got to have... Okay, there's a praise, yes.
Praise that Joyce Miller is doing better. And like you said, waiting is hard. she has a pain management appointment on January 9.
Okay.
So we're praying that something will open up sooner on that as well.
Hopefully.
And she thanks everyone for their prayers, for cards, some food, and visits. She's very grateful.
Yes, thank you. Well, we'll hope that she gets a call about a cancellation that maybe can speed up her, move up her schedule as well.
I'm just going to praise God for the church community we have here in Palmyra. All of the families who had gift tags for school have been taken care of by church. Like, the staff is mad because they don't can, so they're doing gift cards for the families. So whether the families are going to get a gift card above the requested tags for their kids. So I'm just thankful for our community and their generosity.
Yes, yes. That is a praise that we live in a town that is so. There's so many church. There's so much church involvement. Any others? Any prayer requests that we'd like to raise?
Aaron has had some doctor's appointments lately, and we have some follow-up stuff. So just to keep him and us and the doctors in your prayers.
Okay. Any others? Okay, well then let's pray. Father, first of all, we want to thank you for giving us another day. We thank you for the opportunity to use another day to worship you, but also to serve you by serving others. We pray that you'll open our eyes and our hearts to those around us and to be your hands and feet whenever we have the opportunity. We thank you that there are so many who are following you in that same way, as we hear about all these churches who have provided support for the school kids through their tag program. And it's just wonderful that the school doesn't have to beg for more people to take care of more tags. I thank you for just moving in everyone and just stirring their hearts to support these children. I pray that we would carry that heart, that feeling, all through the year, that this isn't just a Christmas miracle, that this is something that would be in our hearts all year, that as we see needs, we show your love by helping to meet those needs in any way that we can. Father, we thank you for the healing that Joyce is going through, and we just pray that you'll continue to give her strength. I pray that you'll reduce her pain, and I pray that she would also get a call that there has been a cancellation, and that she might be able to go sooner to this pain management meeting or that she's got. I just thank you for watching over her and for taking care of her and helping her heal. We also want to lift up Aaron and all of his family as they're going through something that you know everything about. You know all the details, even the details that the doctors don't know yet and the family doesn't know yet. And so we pray that you'll reveal whatever needs to be revealed. You will heal whatever needs to be healed. We just pray that family will stay strong, that Aaron will continue to walk with you, lean on you through this whole situation, and that he will look to you for strength as he hears whatever news the doctor might have, whether it's good or bad, and that regardless, he'll just hold on to your hand very strongly as you walk through the situation with him. I thank you, Lord, for the way you take care of all of us, especially through income, through our provision each year, each week. And I ask you to accept the offering that we have collected, and I pray that you would bless it and use it in whatever way you find fitting. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue worshiping by singing our next hymn, our first, hymn number 478. Take a break from the book of Acts for a little while and move ourselves over into the book of Luke. We're going to be reading from Luke as we go through this Advent season. And we know that in Advent we're asked to wait, right? Waiting is hard. And we have to wait, yes. That's okay. That's fine. We have to wait, and waiting is hard. And what happens when you're promised something, as I was asking the kids, you know, you're promised something, but you're not told all the details, and you're told that you have to wait. Well, we start imagining, right? We start filling in the gaps. We start figuring things out. And so that when the promised event does happen, maybe it doesn't match up with everything that you had expected, everything that you forecasted by filling in those gaps. The world was promised a Messiah, but it didn't happen right away. They had to wait. The world had to wait. And the world started to try to fill in the gaps. But then, after hundreds of years, an announcement was made about a surprising arrival. And we're going to be reading, as I said, from the book of Luke. We're in chapter 1, but I'm jumping to start at verse 26. So I'll try to put the first 25 verses in a nutshell. It's the story that many of you are probably very familiar with, about a priest and his wife who couldn't have children when they were young. And now they were much older and way beyond the ability naturally to be able to have children. And an angel named Gabriel shows up to this family, to this couple, and says, hey, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a son. And the priest says, how can I be sure you're not pulling my leg? And the angel says, well, here's your sign. He says, you're not going to be able to talk until that baby is born. So it forced him to trust him that there would be a baby, because otherwise, if the baby's never born, he never gets to talk. But it did happen that way. Elizabeth, his wife, did get pregnant. She stays in seclusion for 5 months during her first 5 months of the pregnancy. So nobody knows about it. Nobody sees her. And he can't tell anybody. So nobody really knows about her pregnancy. And we pick up the story at that point. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26, begins by reading, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And we'll stop there because it's giving us a lot of information here. So now Elizabeth, that was the name of the wife, she is now well beyond 5 months. She's into her sixth month of pregnancy. And God says sends that same angel, Gabriel, who went to tell them this surprising news. He sends that same angel down to Nazareth, which was a town in a not-so-respected area called Galilee. So just a no-name town in a not-so-exciting place. In verse 27, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So we've got an average Joe that's that is betrothed, engaged to Mary, just another girl living in town. Boy, I feel like I'm doing a John Mellencamp song here. But they're just two average people just hanging around town. But she's betrothed, which means that she's engaged, but there's much more commitment to their engagement than to ours. We know people who are engaged today, and after 4 or 5 months, they break off the engagement, and all they're out is the cost of the ring, basically. And there's some emotional scars, of course, but I mean, there's nothing legal that they have to go through. When Mary is betrothed or engaged to Joseph, there's a legal commitment now. They're kind of like half married. They're married, but they're not living together yet. It gives Joseph time to go back and build a house so that he can take care of the family. Usually, they build onto the existing family's house. They just sort of put an addition on it. But he needs to prepare. He's getting a house ready for her. They don't live together yet. There's nothing happening between them that husbands and wives do yet. Just a whole lot of preparation. Think about that. If you were kind of married, you're legally married, but you can't be husband and wife yet it's usually about a year, maybe not quite that long. You talk about waiting is hard, huh? But he has to get prepared so that when the wedding happens, then they have a place to go and to live. So then verse 28 says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Good afternoon and congratulations. What? You who are highly favored. Mary has never been favored for anything. She's just an average girl in this no-name town. She's never been picked first when they pick sides for playing kickball. She's never been first in class at school. She's not first chair in the band. You know, none of this. She's never been highly favored in any way. She's been well loved by her family, I'm sure. But to say that she's highly favored, this has got to be confusing for her. So verse 29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I mean, just imagine somebody comes to your door. Congratulations, you won. But I didn't enter anything. You know, what is this all about? So she says she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And verse 30 says, but the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. you have found favor with God. Okay, that's pretty promising. Verse 31 is an interesting way to follow that up. Hey, you're going to get pregnant. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Now, everybody in those days, all the mothers were, I shouldn't say all, but it's a generalized statement, but many women in those days were naming their child Jesus or Yeshua. Because if you've heard me mention before, they would name their child either based on something that they see about that child as he's born. He comes out, he's got a little bit more hair than most. They call him Harry. They give him the name Harry. We in Sunday night during the Bible study when we were studying Ruth, we remember that the two boys when they came, the two sons of, now I'm getting all the names mixed up, Naomi, meant basically, one was kind of sickly, so his name meant sick, and the other was kind of weak, you know, and his name meant weak. That's what they looked like when they came out. So basically, her kids were sick and tired. But that's what they would name them if they saw them when they came out, or they would name the child in hopes that he or she would live up to the name that they give. And so many of these mothers were naming their boys Yeshua with the hope that their son would be the one that all these prophets have talked about, that their son would be the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Savior, the Messiah that everybody's been waiting for. And so now this angel is telling her, your son, when you have your son, you will call him Jesus. Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, being called the Son of the Most High, that's wonderful, and there was some of that kind of talk going on with, like, in Rome with the Caesars. They liked to think that they were gods, or they wanted to be treated as gods, or that they were sons of the gods and so forth. But she's learning, she's being told that her son is going to be great. How many of you would like to start off knowing that your son's going to be great? Yes, okay. And then I should ask, well, how many of those were fulfilled? You all better put your hands up too. Yeah, so her son's going to be a wonderful, great person. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. Okay, those are kind of objective kind of things. They're just, I mean, in the sense that, yeah, okay, any mother is going to call their son great, but he's going to be called the Son of the Most High. But then the Lord God will give him, he's going to be a king, the throne of David. He will reign forever. His kingdom will never end. She might assume that means that he's going to be king, and when he dies, his son will be king, and his son will be king, and so forth, that this kingdom will never end. A great kid that's going to grow up, be a king, his kingdom will live forever. That's what she's hearing, but that's not what she responds to. She goes back to that first thing that was said, hey, you're going to conceive. Because in verse 34, she says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? Now, if you remember, the priest I was talking about, he kind of doubted and said, you got to give me a sign. You know, how do I know that you're telling me is true? So there was a little bit of doubt there for some reason. Mary doesn't really sound like she's doubting. She's not saying, well, that can't be possible. She's actually asking, well, how's it going to happen? There seems to be an inference of, yes, okay, but just tell me how. How is it going to happen since I'm a virgin? And I want to try to carefully spend just a little time on that word, that V word. There will be some you will hear. There are liberal scholars, there are progressive theologians who will tell you that word can be translated to just mean a young unmarried woman, young maiden. And it's true that can be the original word, the original language can be translated that way. But the prophets are saying this is going to be a sign to you hundreds of years from now that you will see a young unmarried maiden who will have a child. Is that a sign? I mean, what's so exciting? All these young maidens are getting married and having children. But if you see a virgin having a child, that's a little unique, and that's a sign. That's something that you're going to be able to point to and say that that's a sign. Also, Mary, she wouldn't say, how is this going to happen since I am a young unmarried maiden? No, she's making a point that naturally, scientifically, explainably, I can't, you know, I can't have a child. But the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then verse 36, she now hears about Elizabeth. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. That's the one that we were talking about earlier, the priest's wife. She's going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive, it was just generally assumed and accepted that she couldn't have children. She is now in her sixth month. Verse 37, what we talked about with the kids this morning, and the translation in the NIV is, for no word from God will ever fail. The better translation for us, the more memorable or the easier to remember is, for nothing is impossible with God. He took a woman who was too old and couldn't have children to begin with, gives her a child. He takes a girl who physically, naturally is not able to have a child, and makes her pregnant. And Mary's response to the whole thing in verse 38 is, I am the Lord's servant. She comes with a completely humble response, recognizing proper perspective, saying, you're the master, I'm the servant. If this is what you want, she says, may your word to me be fulfilled. She's ready to go. She's saying, if that's what you want, then that's what I'll do. And then the angel left her. So it's a surprising announcement in a way. I mean, not that it's happening, because everybody was expecting it to happen. They know the prophets. They know what they've been told. But like I said, when they're filling in all the gaps, the fact that here this child is being born to a 13, 14-year-old girl, in our day, we would say like in some unknown town down in West Virginia or something, you know, we're not talking about New York City here. Nazareth of Galilee, we remember how the question, Nathanael, does anything good come out of Galilee? But also, we had people who were also questioning the whole thing. Yeah, I said that wrong. Phil Nathanael actually said, can anything come from good from Nazareth? But the fact that Galilee was also questioned when people were questioning Jesus' background, and they said, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Doesn't the scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lives? So see, they already had their minds so closed, they had things so figured out and way they expected things to happen, that they couldn't figure out a way that both could be true. And so here she is in this little town, having this child. It wasn't a surprise that he's coming, but it was a surprise how and where and who and all that sort of thing. The world was expecting a Messiah, but they had too much time to think about it. Mary reflects the kind of person who God surprisingly chooses to use. She's not bringing any standing credentials to this task. She is not anybody of any high standing. She's not royalty. She's average, like you and me. She doesn't bring anything on her resume other than her availability and her willingness to serve. She's humble, she's available, and she's spiritual. But those characteristics are the most basic ones that he can offer to God. So he puts her to use in his plan. He takes her through a process that she has no training for at all, no preparation. I mean, other than the fact that all these girls sort of had a preparation knowing how to be a mom, but being a mom of the creator of the universe and a king that's going to reign forever, she was not prepared for that. Plus, keep in mind, taking on this the responsibility of the shame and so forth, of people seeing her pregnant, and yet it's not Joseph's baby. Those sorts of things. She's pregnant before the wedding. Even if they did assume it was Joseph's baby, the fact that she's pregnant before the wedding date, all these things that she knows she's going to have to deal with as she's continuing through this process. With God's grace behind her, Mary knows that she can do whatever God has asked, because nothing is impossible for God. We also see in this humble setting here, it also reveals the nature of God's plan. It reveals the character of his heart. God loves in spirit. And we get the example, even his son then, as king of Israel, the promised one of all time, he's born to a humble country maiden here. It's an attitude that we as his children should possess. We might expect great things from God and anticipate that he would work through the great people in society. But God shows his greatness by working who is willing to be used by him. Social class doesn't preclude spiritual greatness. Spiritual greatness isn't a matter of how big your wallet is or how big your bank account is. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have behind your name. Spiritual greatness is a function of the heart. An approach that God takes that is completely reverse from the world. It's completely opposite of the way the world looks at. The world looks for credentials. It looks for degrees. It looks for big bank accounts. But other matters are more important to him. God can do great things through those who trust him through his journey, through the journey that he will care for them. And that means when God leads, then we're simply to reply, "May it be according to your will." Mary reflects the proper response of anybody who has been called by God with no credentials other than just humility and availability and spirituality. She is the Lord's servant, and so are we if we know him and if we follow him. God's servants have the right attitude and the right perspective to accomplish great things for him if we say, "Use me as you will. I won't hold back from serving because I don't feel qualified or I don't feel usable." You know the saying that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. He calls you first, he wants you to be available first, and then he'll give you what you need. So this was all a surprise in a sense. It was all laid out, but yet it was surprising to all those who were waiting. And we're in a period right now of symbolically waiting for his birth, his arrival, but we also literally are waiting for his arrival again. He did tell us that he would come back. And so in Matthew, we need to be careful and recognize that we need to be waiting the same way. And so in Matthew, I want to read Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. Where people have been asking Jesus about the next time he comes. And he says, "About that day or hour, nobody knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And then he uses an example, and he says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Okay, so he's saying it's going to be just like the days of Noah. And then he explains, so what about the days of Noah? For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. That's when the floods came. That's when the judgment of the floods came. And they knew nothing, all those people who were just eating, drinking, and being merry. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And that's how it'll be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch. That's his point. And I know we get hung up, we're waiting, and so we want to fill in the gaps. And I just want to make one comment here, and I just want us to pay attention, and it's a whole other sermon that I'm not going to get into, but I want you to pay attention, and I did highlight that one word, where he uses this example of the days of Noah. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. Who was taken? It was the unrighteous. Who was left behind? It was the ones on the ark. It was Noah and his family. So we just have to recognize that perhaps Tim LaHaye and all of his Left Behind series fans could be wrong. We don't know. I could be wrong by disagreeing with that. The point is, Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time talking about it. His point that he makes here is, keep watch, be ready. He says, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. So I don't know why there's people who do try to predict and do give us dates. But he says, we don't know. Keep watching. And then further on, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. We got to be ready. Jesus was certain of his return, but he didn't know the exact time. And so his emphasis was on watchfulness and readiness. This set of verses is a call for faithfulness as we live in expectation. Our motivation for service to Christ should be a meaningful relationship with him and serving him and doing things here while we're waiting, not that we just sit and wait for the bus. Jesus calls us to be disciples in the world, and we also should not have a fear of the end. Nothing should be fearful about the end of the times. But we're to be disciples to the world. We're supposed to serve the world, evangelize the world, not stand apart waiting for his coming. So the emphasis again on this set of verses is on preparedness. For even though we associate freely in society, we have a different relation than the rest of society to the master. It says there will be a division. One's going to be taken, one's going to be left. The thrust is to ensure our being ready for his coming. And then it doesn't matter what does it mean to be taken, what does it mean to be left. The point is, we were ready and we will be with him. For Jesus said he's coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus' point is that life went on as always. There was no sign other than the preaching of Noah for the 120 years while he was building that ark. People had an opportunity. They knew something was up. If they listened to Noah, they knew what was coming. And then suddenly the floods came. God waited patiently for at least 120 years for people to repent, but there was no change, and he was morally free then to bring the flood of judgment without somebody coming back to him and saying, well, if you had only given me a little longer, then I would have repented. So how long can we expect God to be patient with us? How much longer before we get beyond the point where we can say, well, if you had just given us a little longer? God, who is the main character in salvation history, is holding back the end, pressing it back in his love and his patience, desiring that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Waiting is hard. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity, this Advent season, to remember you, to remember your humble earthly beginnings. And as we celebrate, help us to always be ready, for your next advent, your next arrival. Help us to avoid all the chaos that goes with trying to figure things out. Help us to just be ready and to be willing and to be serving you, so that when you do come, you find us as willing servants, those who have been serving you, good and faithful servants. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, would you stand and we'll sing our final hymn. So now, as you depart as his disciples, may you depart with expectation in your heart and the joy of the Advent season in your heart as well. And may the Lord guide you and protect you and make his face shine upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.